And I am so honored that you have chosen to be here today to hear the Word of God. And I'm also excited because the things I want to share with you today I think will be a blessing to your heart. And I want to take you to a passage of Scripture that has oftentimes been looked at as very daunting for ladies, and yet at the same time, it's not supposed to be. It's supposed to be accessible. God is for us, and I want to kind of diffuse some of the myth or the aura of intimidation that it brings in many ladies' lives. I want to help you gals, because we really need you to be in the game. We need you to understand who you are and how powerful you are and how much we really need you. We just need you. We fellas, we know it. And when we come to Mother's Day, we know it even more, because we not only look to those at our side if we're married men, but those that were in front of us who brought us up. So I want to ask you to take your Bibles this morning and turn with me to the book of Proverbs and chapter 31. And what I want you to see as we come to this passage of Scripture is I want us to see that the whole chapter, which many ladies who've read their Bibles understand, deals with a virtuous woman and then a litany of things that she does that make most women feel like, well, I'll never attain to that. I want you to recognize that these words written about the virtuous woman were not really words to you as a woman, but indirectly to you as a woman they are. And I want you to kind of get your mind around what this passage is doing, because if you miss the first part of the chapter, you really miss the point. I want you to look at it with me. In verse 1, the Bible says, "The words of King Lemuel, the prophecy that his mother taught him." You might underline that, because anytime you come to this chapter, underline the words, "his mother," because these are the words of a woman to her son. Now, I don't know if you take time today and sit down with your children sometimes and just kind of look at them and realize what a powerful force you are in their life, but I want you to recognize that no one can talk about the things in this chapter more authoritatively than a woman. Because a woman is going to be the one who really pulls the mask off here and lets us know what's going on in the real world. You have heard it said that the hand that rocks the cradle rules the world. And I want to talk to you about rocking the cradle this morning. Because our country's in trouble, our world's in trouble, the church is in trouble, because we've lost a sense of who we are and a sense of what is right and wrong, and we've forgotten that it takes a degree of discipline and a degree of intentionality to overcome the ebbs and flows of our generation. If you're going to be the kind of woman that impacts the future, it's going to be on purpose. You're not going to do it by default. You just aren't. And a lot of times, not having been taught or trained leaves us with a great void. So this morning, I want to talk to you about rocking the cradle. And I want you to see out of verse 1 that this is a burden that King Lemuel received. If you look at it, verse 1 says, "The words of King Lemuel, the prophecy that his mother taught him." Notice, they're his words, but they're words that she taught him. They're words that she taught him with such intentionality and in such dignity and such determination that they became literally his burden. The word for prophecy here, but word literally means burden. He lived under the weight of her words. She put inside of him a degree of healthy fear about the possibilities of disaster. She looked him in the eye and she gave him some advice that could carry him through this world successfully. Now, ladies, I want you to realize that when God created women, He created you with certain abilities and attributes that make it very easy for us to hear you. Now, that can be ruined, obviously. Sometimes the hearing and the words become a little bit overwhelming and sometimes resented, and it can be turned bad. But at first, initially, certainly, there's an ability to hear your words. And your words are important because you have a sobriety early on in your lives that we as men do not have, and certainly children do not have until much later. So when you look at verse 1, I want you to realize King Lemuel, who is he? Well, there are no kings by that name in history surrounding Israel or Judah. It is believed that this is probably Solomon's name, his pet name his mother gave him. The word means with God, king with God, or king toward God. If you're going to live a life that is pleasing to God, it's going to be a life that's constantly got God in view. Now, at the outset, we understand this is probably Solomon. But don't sell yourself short here. The Bible says that Christ has made us a kingdom of priests and kings unto our God. We are going to rule and reign with Him. So when He talks to the king, and He brings these words out of His history, out of His background, and He brings them to you and me, understand that they apply to you. And they are for you as an individual, because God has dignified those of us who name the name of Christ, those who are His children. We will rule and reign with Him. The Bible says that the words of King Lemuel, the prophecy that his mother taught him, it shows us this word prophecy, I pointed out a moment ago, has the whole idea of a burden. And when it says taught, the word means chastised him with. In other words, it's like she chased him around with this. She pursued him with these words. This was not a once and done, let's sit down and have a talk and get this out of the way. This was something she taught him at the earliest ages. Maybe she found songs. I don't know how many of you ladies have Christian CDs in your home playing in the background. Don't teach your kids the songs of the world and expect them not to be worldly. Teach them songs of joy, songs of verse songs, songs of church, Sunday's church songs. All the songs of Zion are out there. They're beautiful. They're wonderful. She taught him stuff from the earliest days. She built into his life. She chastised him with these words, and he never felt chastised, but he took upon him the mantle and the burden that she gave him. Now, when she unfolds this chapter, realize from chapter 31, verse 1 through 31, verse 31, they're all her words. These are things she said. She had a lot to say. Now, I'm going to give you a couple of hangers, and some of you ladies may want to take notes, because some of the things we're going to talk about here today are going to be highlights that you're going to want to hammer home to your kids. All right? If you want two breaks in the passage, you see from verses 1 down to verse 9, one section, and verse 10 down to verse 31, a second section. The first section is we see her expressing some warnings. She expresses some warnings. And from verse 10 to the end of the chapter, she explains about women. Now, folks, we've heard everybody say you'll never understand women. Well, I'll tell you who understands women. Another woman. All right? So when she says, here's some stuff you need to know about a woman and women in general, she can speak authoritatively. So we need to lean in and listen to what she would say with clarity and sobriety in her heart and mind. And in her warnings, she will mention women as well, but we'll look at that in a moment. She expresses some warnings first of all. She says in verse 2, what, my son? What, the son of my womb? What, the son of my vows? It's like she's wringing her hands saying, how can I put this? Now, right away we see her wringing her hands and feeling like something needs to be said. Don't you feel like something needs to be said? Sometimes don't you just feel like the kids need a word? Wouldn't it just be great if we could just find words? I know that ladies today need mentors among other women. They need that. This is a day where all bets are off. The training wheels have been kicked off and the brakes are gone. Ladies are in peril today because all of the rules have changed in the past few decades. Everything has changed. And so now what we need is we need some older women teaching some younger women. And if you want pictures of that, go to Song of Solomon. And one word comes over, women to women. And it's that word, awake not, love, till it's time. And when you do awake love in its time, it will be the most beautiful thing in the world. Be virtuous, be pure, be holy, be chaste, be righteous, and be good. That's what we find from Song of Solomon. Women to women, tell them to be good, because it's hard to be good when you have the whole world as your oyster. And today women have come into their own in a way in which it's never been like that before. But she's wringing her hands, trying to figure out what words would make sense, determining how to find words for what she really wants to say. And the first thing that comes to her mind, have you ever heard that thing called free association? You know, somebody say black and you say white, somebody say cat, you say dog, all that. What's the first thing that came to her mind? Verse 3, give not your strength to women. King Lemuel, king toward God, you man who is leaning in and trying to find God's way of life, the first thing you guys, you men, because Song of Solomon deals with the ladies, but here, she's dealing with the guys, and she says, don't give your strength to women. Now, every guy in the room knows what that means. Every guy in this room knows what it means. I'm reminded of a story I heard years ago, how all these fellas arrived at the pearly gates, and there they were lined up, and Peter comes to the gate, and he says, now all you men that are henpecked and woman-controlled, you stand to the left, and any of you guys that are not henpecked and woman-controlled, you stand on the right, or whatever, one side or the other. And then one lonely, feeble little guy, puny-looking guy, was standing over here where the guys weren't henpecked, and Peter said, well, that's impressive. Son, what's your secret? And he said, well, my wife told me to stand over here. So he was just doing what he was told. Now, folks, what I want you to understand is that we all laugh because we all know what she's saying. Do not give your strength to women. If you want to go back in the book of Proverbs, read the first 6 or 7 Proverbs, and you'll find out how dangerous a woman with the training wheels kicked off and the brakes gone can be. Who's just kind of living large and living licentiously and chasing guys. She can control him, and she learns at a very early age she can control the men around her. Little girls can turn daddy around her pinky. They can. They can just mess with them. And it's like, okay, honey, whatever, you know. And they get the extra money, or they get the cell phone, or they get the car. And it's like out of control. And the wife's just sitting there thinking, because she remembered when it was her, she's like, I know, used to be me. But in the bigger sense, what we're looking at here is a mom saying, son, write the word down, you're vulnerable. You might write that word down. That's one of the first things she says. Appreciate and respect the fact and learn and know and understand the fact you are vulnerable. That's what she's saying. Give not your strength to women. The word strength literally means your firmness, your valor, your efficiency, and your potential. Don't give it away. Now, for many of us in the room, we know that this is a real problem across the world today. I mean, it is. It's huge. Women have come into their own. And if you could look back, if you will, in your mind's eye of the fall, would you visit that for a moment? Do you remember the fall? Do you remember when man and woman were in the garden in purity and everything was perfect and everything was where it needed to be and it was just a wonderful fellowship? What did the serpent do? He didn't come to the man. He went to the woman. And what did he offer her? He says to her, you can be like God. He didn't say that to the man. The man had no need to kind of find some dominion. What he said to her was, you shall be like gods. You will be made wise and you will be like God. Now, folks, after the fall, things went south quick for the woman. I mean, men were hostile and out of control, and everything was unfolding and made women vulnerable. They couldn't take a walk anywhere without a friend or a party of other girls. It's almost inherent now. Girls go to the bathroom, all of them go. If I go to the bathroom, I don't want any guys with me. I got it, okay? I got this. I can handle this. The girls, however, they go in packs because they understand in some inherent way that they've got a vulnerability. Besides that, they got words that they haven't used yet, and they just need to use them. So while they're going to the bathroom, they're talking. But it's a beautiful thing. But the fact of the matter is that when the fall occurred, women were vulnerable. But you know that vulnerability began to fall away in the last century in a huge way? Birth control came into the world. And when that happened, women were not kind of bound to their homes like they once were. And it was like they got a new toy. Because even though those things happened and women were made more free than they'd ever been before, what ended up happening was that freedom came with the price of stewardship and responsibility. But many women didn't know how to handle it. It was like a kid with a brand new gun or a toy. They couldn't wait to use, because what was happening was all the rules changed, and it was just a matter of time till society changed with it. And today, beloved, what we have is we have a society where women understand they have arrived at being almost like God. Men have no power like women have. When a man walks into a room, the room does not light up. When a woman walks into the room lights up. A woman can walk by and take the breath away of a man. It's like a magical power. It's like she has a magic wand. All she has to do is pull her shirt just up over her midriff a little bit. Wear her shirt or shorts or her dress is a little short or a little low on top. And guys are smitten, and guys understand it, and women understand it. And they can give their strength to women. And they can begin to pursue and puppy dog after it. And what I'm trying to say to you is that society is in jeopardy when women do not step into their role with a responsible heart that understands their power. Now, for some people, telling them about their power is a dangerous thing because they will wield it in an irresponsible way. But the Bible says that when she was looking for words, the first thing she wanted to drive home to him was your vulnerability. Kings were vulnerable. David, great David, King David, a man after God's own heart. While Bathsheba was washing herself over the wall, he saw her, he took her, he threw himself under the bus for her. And who is this speaking? It's the mother of Lemuel, probably Bathsheba herself, saying, don't give your strength to women. David could have scaled higher heights than he ever knew. But after his fall, giving himself to women, what happened is he spent the next decades of his life doing damage control. One son raping a daughter. Another son killing a son. One son usurping the kingdom and trying to take David's throne and running him out of town. One thing after another, a dead baby in the as a product of the union that he had with Bathsheba. This is probably Bathsheba. Now you say, well, Bathsheba was such a wicked woman. He was the king. He had the right to take. And who was she? It's not like a democratic society. These people were at the beck and call of the king, and she understood what happened. She bore the brunt and hurt and pain of loss. And what we're seeing is her saying, first thing out of her mouth, thing on the top of her head is, don't give your strength to women. Now, gals, you need to tell your sons this. Ladies, you need to tell your boys, be careful. They will destroy you. You know it. You know, there's no one harder on women than women. They watch how other women dress, they critique how they carry themselves, and they think in their mind, I know what she's doing. And they'll roll their eyes, and they'll go tisk, tisk, and they know! Because they know that they had the propensity, and maybe they chose not to go that route, but the point is that she is saying to him, do not give your strength to women. I was reading over this week, and if you would write this verse down somewhere, in the margin, perhaps here in the Scripture, but Isaiah 3:12. This is what Isaiah 3:12 says. As for my people, listen to this, sounds like something today. As for my people, and this is God telling Isaiah what's going to happen to Israel in being carried away into Assyrian captivity because they had apostatized so far, they had left God so far. He said, this is what has happened to them. He says, as for my people, children are their oppressors. And women rule over them. Sounds like our generation, doesn't it? The men won't speak out. I've been in churches and I've been in seminars, and I listen to marriage seminars by some of the people we hold up in high esteem on the radio or whatever. And it seems to me that just as the world mocks men in their commercials, have you seen the Home Depot commercials? It's always the girl talking. Well, what are we doing? And he's sitting back there like, what's going on? You ever seen? It's the most ridiculous thing. They're at Home Depot and she's the one that's leaning in. But in our world, in our Christian world, even the preachers and the teachers of God's Word somehow want to make us out to be as if we guys got no clue. We are on the run. Children are our oppressors. We don't spank and discipline our children anymore because we're afraid our wives might be mad at us.